Let us pray. Our dear most heavenly Father, we come on today, this morning, Father, with praises. Father, we come today as servants before a king. We come today, Father, committing all our honors and our burdens that we can bring today, Father. We come just in thy name. Father, we come today asking that you just strengthen us to get through this seminary and to become a witness for thee in that world that is outside of that gate. Father, we ask that you just be our blessing as we look across our fellow men and see the shortcomings. Father, we ask your blessing on our shortcoming. We ask your blessing on this seminary, on its faculty, on its president, on its student body who is gathered here today, Father, to commit today that which they know. Father, we come in the humblest manner we know how. We come, Father, just thanking thee for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank thee for the strength. We thank you for the health that you have put in our body today that we can come here and just share in this fellowship, Father. Father, we ask your blessing on the speaker. We ask your blessing on those that will be hearing these words today. We ask that it just be words that can uplift a heart and words that commit one to serve thee in a better way that they are doing now. Father, when we look to our last thoughts and we cannot go anymore, we ask that thou will give us a resting place in our kingdom. These and other blessings, ask in your name. Amen.
I have one announcement that I would like to make this morning. A senior class meeting that was planned for tomorrow has been postponed. There will be a senior class meeting in the chapel next Friday morning at 10 a.m. Our speaker this morning is Willie White. Willie is a senior from Baylor University, and he is currently serving as senior representative on the Student Coordinating Council. Presently, he is serving as a pastor of the Brookston Baptist Church in Henderson, North Carolina, and he has had an article published in the Christian Century. This morning after the anthem, Willie will speak on the meaning of revelation in light of the black experience.
Oh, revelation for the Christian has to do with the dynamic uncovering or unveiling of that which in times past has been withheld from the view and comprehension of the human creature. By definition, the word revelation implies the involvement of four essential elements: the subject that is being revealed, the means by which the subject is being revealed, the one to whom the subject is being revealed, and finally, for the process to be complete, there must be one who does the revealing. From the perspective of the Christian faith, however, this process of unveiling or uncovering involves only the one who does the revealing, the subject which is being revealed, and the means by which the revelation takes place. This is true in the Christian faith because the manifestation of the previously hidden subject, the uncovering of the hidden, has its origin in the subject itself, namely, it has its origin in God. The initiative in the revelatory process begins with God Himself. Thus, there are only three elements in Christian revelation: God, man, and the means by which God chooses to reveal Himself. At the present time, it is important that we discuss the means and the meaning of revelation, because it is at this point that many black Christians come to erroneous conclusions because they fail to understand the true process of how, when, and where God reveals Himself. In addition to the above failures, many black Christians fail to understand that because God is infinite, only part of Him, only part of His nature is revealed at any one time or under any one set of circumstances. But perhaps the greatest error made by black Christians concerning the revelation of God is their attempt to limit Him to the pages of the Bible. Black Christians who, either consciously or unconsciously, think in terms of God in this way fail to recognize what the Bible itself affirms about God's revelation of Himself and the human situation. They fail to recognize what the Bible affirms both implicitly and explicitly about the ways by which God reveals Himself, the reasons for revealing Himself, and the times at which He reveals Himself. They fail to realize that the Scriptures affirm that the God of the Bible is the eternal God of living man, while yet He transcends the thresholds of Sheol. They fail to realize that the prophets Amos and Isaiah proclaim the message of a God who refuses to be restricted by either time, geography, or nationality in His revelation of Himself in the lives of men. Through these prophets, we hear God speaking, and we see Him revealing Himself to man through nature's beauties and horrors, through the prophets' songs and parables, and even through armies. We see Him revealed through a people going into exile and returning again to their homeland. We see Him revealed in the might and power of Babylon, Assyria, and even Cyrus of Persia. Yet the involvement, the concern, the revelation of God is not always on such grandiose levels. The Lord Jesus Himself affirms that there is no area of man's concern hidden from the hand and the mind of God, for even the very hairs of our heads are numbered according to Jesus. Thus, the Almighty and Eternal God is involved and revealed even in the most insignificant, the most mundane aspects of man's life. We are saying here that the black Christian should learn from his Bible that he should not attempt to restrict God, nor should he be amazed at the time, the place, or the method of God's revelation. Black Christians should realize that the Bible is a record of the revelation of God for given historical periods. But it is not his death certificate. It is not an epitaph on a tombstone for God. Though the canon has been closed, God has continued to this day revealing himself in the human situation, indeed in the black experience. Black Christians who fail to discern the revelation of God in the present age and in the contemporary black experience in the lives of men this side of the canon era are saying that there is no hope in God for the liberation of oppressed black people. They are saying that the God who led Israel out of captivity has been silenced as the God of liberation. So the Bible then is divine information and divine truths about God, what He has done in the past, what He is doing now, and what His nature will cause Him to do in the future. But to accept this view of the Bible and Revelation is to accept the task and challenge a religious agony, agony which arises out of trying to hear the voice of God and see the face of God when it may only be revealed through a glass dimly. It is to experience the agony of trying to see God in tragedy and horror as well as in peace and in beauty. Thus, churchmen would rather read their Bibles and let it suffice as the totality of the revelation of God. But if black Christians are not able to accept the challenge and the task that is inherent in seeking to discern and understand the revelation of God in the lives of contemporary black men, then the Judeo-Christian faith is a dead faith which has no relevance for the average oppressed black man and which should be discarded by him immediately as a hindrance to the liberation of black people. If the Bible is the totality of God's revelation, then God is not revealed in the here and in the now, and he is not revealed in black oppression. He ceases being the eternal God who changes not. He becomes a God who changed his very nature as a friend to the friendless, helper of the helpless, and liberator of the oppressed. But the affirmation of the black Christian, especially of the black theologian, must be that the meaning of revelation and the nature of God demands in every age an essential sharing and merging of the essence of the eternal God with the essence of man. It demands a union of the divine with the human, the heavenly with the earthly. It demands an intimacy with man that is established out of the depth of God's nature as love. The black Christian's understanding then of the concept of revelation must be that the nature of God and the Christian concept of revelation demands the establishment and eternal maintenance of an I-thou relationship from God to man, which affirms both God and man. The God of the Christian faith is transcendent. He is dynamic. Thus, the revelation must be viewed from the perspective of the dynamic and transcendent nature of God. That is, as James Cone says, revelation is not rational discovery of God's attributes or assents to infallible propositions, nor yet as aspects of human self-consciousness. Rather, revelation has to do with God himself as he in his personal relationship with man effects his divine call in our history. James Cone, of course, is right. The Christian concept of revelation does not start with rational thought processes. As we noted earlier, Christian revelation has its origin in God himself. When the black theologian then speaks of Christian revelation, the black Christian should know that it is not a question of oppressed black people searching for a static, inactive God. There is a searching and a discerning process, this is true. But it is a process to prove that it is not a process to prove that God is active, or to prove that he is a revealer. Faith has already testified that he is the revelator. The search is for an apprehension of his revealed will and the particular revealed aspect of his nature. It is here that the religious agony which we mentioned earlier most definitely appear. But it is here also that we note a particular problem for the black Christian. He is not accustomed to searching his experiences and the experiences of his people to explicate the content and the nuances, indeed the meaning of the revelation of God in his life. Yet it is only when the black Christian has taken this step that the revelatory process can begin to become complete. This is true in all instances of God's revelation, no matter how clear that revelation may appear to be to the observer. Even the Lord Jesus himself had to agonize and search for the active hand of God in his own life. And it was only when Jesus was able to discern the revelation within his own being that the revelation was complete for him. For the black Christian then, revelation is not wholly other. Rather, we must assert that his revelation is, from our perspective, neither totally subjective nor totally objective. That is, God's revelation is primarily objective, yet it is secondarily subjective. It is primarily other, yet it is secondarily none other. This is, of course, a very difficult point. But when the revelation of God has become fully objectivized, we find the whole concept of man's moral freedom and his prerogatives destroyed as a moral free agent with the fiber inherent within himself to make decisions for which he is morally responsible. And further, it must be doubted that mortal man is able to stand as a free agent with the power to accept or reject revelation that is wholly other. For to be confronted by the totality of God's revelation is tantamount to beholding his glory. That is, it is tantamount to standing face to face with him. And God's revelation, totally objectivized, crushing down upon mortal man, like a bolt of lightning from the blue, would seem to require one of two things: man's total destruction, or his being elevated to the level of God. Perhaps this is the truth we find been affirmed by the Old Testament tradition concerning the burning bush. For the testimony is that the revelation was such that the very ground assumed holiness in the presence of God. And further, when Moses comes down from the mountain of God, we hear the testimony that his face is shining with such glory that even Israel cannot look upon his face. It would seem that the theological affirmation here is that Moses, in coming closer than any other man within the proximity of God's objective holy otherness, also came closer than any other man to being totally annihilated by that holy otherness. The theological message to the black Christian is that we must be able to discern the revelation of God without being crushed by the holy otherness of God. On this level, then, God revealed himself to Israel in Egypt as the liberator God. But the fullness of that revelation was dependent not upon God, but upon Israel's response to God. Would she follow Moses through the sea? Would she go out into idolatry? The answer to these questions determined the completeness of God's revelation as a liberator for the people Israel. Thus, the question for oppressed black people today is one which will determine the completeness of God's revelation of himself as a liberator in the modern era. Is this to say, then, that black men have ultimate control over God? Our response to this question is obviously negative. It is to say, however, that God's actions are influenced by man. It is also to say that man has a much greater influence upon God than most churchmen are willing to admit. Thus, the black Christian should recognize the intimate relationship that exists between God and man. God's nature and will is such that he seeks to establish relationships with man, and man's nature is such that he needs to have such relationships established. The man who has not experienced the revelation of God in his life has not yet comprehended what life may ultimately become. He has not been enabled to begin to comprehend what Jesus called the abundant life. And as it is with an individual, so it is with a people. The fullness of life and the comprehension of one's destiny can only be realized in the ultimate sense because of one's relationship with God, the source of life. This is the testimony of the scriptures. For when one can understand Israel's comprehension of Yahweh, he can understand Israel's comprehension of herself. When the scriptures portray Israel's image and comprehension of herself as perverted, it also portrays her comprehension or estimation of God and his revelation in her life as also being perverted. Black people then must seek to comprehend God through his revelation, that they may be able to comprehend themselves. They must understand the nature of God and his will in the modern era, that they may be enabled to understand what should be their nature and their will in the modern era. They must know his purposes before they can be enabled to know their own purposes. The view black people have of themselves as an oppressed people or as a liberated people will be determined by their view of God as the God of the oppressed and as the liberator God. Man is made in the image of God, but he cannot understand and comprehend himself in the imago Dei apart from a comprehension of God himself as he reveals his image in the human situation. But if we are to discuss the meaning of revelation in the black experience and from the perspective of the Christian faith, then we must discuss the ultimate in God's revelation of himself to man. That is, we must discuss the man Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. We must discuss Jesus because God reveals himself not just for the sake of revelation, but for the sake of the creature whom he loves, that is, for the sake of man. This is an important precept in the Christian faith. It is equally as important for the black church. The black church community must ever remain conscious of its origin in the man Jesus. Thus, the necessity of fully understanding the meaning of God's revelation in Jesus as a prerequisite for perceiving his revelation in the black experience. It is the central testimony of both the church and Jesus himself that his life and ministry was the ultimate in the revelation of God to man. St. Paul testifies to this truth when he says, God commended his love toward us, which is to say that God commended his love toward us, in that while we were still alienated and separated from God, he took the initiative and allowed his Son to die for our sakes. John 3:16 gives the same testimony. So the black church realizes then that there is no meaning of revelation. There is no revelation of God in a human situation apart from God's love for his creatures, whether they are walking in fellowship with him or whether they are alienated from him. But many Christians today fail to understand the full meaning of what this revelation of God's love through Jesus means for black people. They cannot comprehend that the meaning of God's revelation for oppressed and black people must be understood in the light of both the Hebrew and the Christian traditions. In the Christian church, one finds it easier to talk with his peers about the meaning of revelation as it relates to oppression and the relieving of the political, social, and economic slavery of the ancient Hebrew people. Few Christians argue that God was not constantly revealing himself as a God of the oppressed then. But oppressed black people in America have seen churchmen give the meaning of God's revelation a new twist in the modern Christian era. They seem content to accept the concept of God's revelation as the God of the politically, socially, and economically oppressed in ancient Israel. But when the discussion shifts to the meaning of God's ultimate revelation in Jesus Christ, the contemporary churchman attempts to place the emphasis of the revelation upon concern over petty issues raised to the level of Christian morality, while denying God's continued concern for the plight of the politically, economically, and socially oppressed black man in this era. The black Christian, however, cannot accept any discussion of the meaning of God's revelation in the black experience apart from God's concern and continued fight in behalf of oppressed black men. Indeed, if the ultimate revelation of God in Jesus means anything at all, it means an intensification of the fight for justice and the freeing of the politically, socially, and economically oppressed black man. God, then, is not less in our midst because of the coming of Jesus. He is with us more. He is not less concerned about those things that have roused his wrath in times past. He is more concerned. The coming of Jesus into the lives of men means that God has come into the lives of men to a degree never before experienced in human history. But this concept of God's revelation in the lives of black men is alien to many black Christians, both clergy and laity alike. They cannot comprehend the radical implications of the nature of God's revelation in the lives of black men in these United States. They find it more comfortable, less challenging, and less likely to arouse quite hostility if they content themselves with relegating the understanding of the profound revelation of God in Jesus to a level of passiveness and aesthetic experiences. And the thought of what the radical nature of God's revelation in the modern era through Jesus Christ may demand strikes terror in the depths of their being. We get a glimpse of this when we note the response of Dr. Joseph Jackson, president of the National Baptist Convention of the United States of America, Incorporated, and his 100-member board of directors of the convention, when that board unanimously approved Jackson's attack upon Dr. Cone in 1971. Jackson said of Dr. Cone, and I quote, "With his thesis and his commitment to the revolt of blacks against whites, or to the black revolution, he, that is, Cone, reduces, and maybe he is forced to reduce, revelation, Jesus, and God himself to a level of blackness," end of quote. Jackson, of course, does not know what Cone is saying, Nor does he understand the meaning of blackness or the meaning of God's revelation as it relates to black people. First of all, Cohn and other black theologians are not attempting to reduce God. God cannot be reduced, nor can Jesus and God's revelation be reduced. God is the one who decides where he will be and what he will do. He is the one who decides whether or not he will be involved in the lives of the rich or the poor, the blacks or the whites, the oppressed or the oppressors. Thus, the task of the black theologian is not to attempt to do the impossible and reduce God to the level of blackness, or to instruct him as to where he ought to be. His task is to be able to discern his presence, his actions, his nature, his will, and his involvement in the lives of black people, and to interpret for them the meaning of God, of what God himself is doing in the lives of his people. Secondly, Jackson fails to realize that Cohn and the modern black theologians do not have a commitment to the revolt of blacks against whites, nor do they have a commitment to the black revolution. The commitment is to the Lord God and Jesus Christ, his Son, through faithfulness to the commandments of love. The black revolution is simply a vehicle by which the black Christian might move toward that ultimate commitment. But no form of revolution, black or otherwise, is the subject or the object of the black theologian's ultimate commitment. The revolution itself is purely incidental. Therefore, the black theologian must continue his efforts to define and interpret for black people the revelation of God in their lives. He must continue the agonizing process of explaining to an oppressed people that God never has and never will forsake an oppressed people who have trusted in him as black people have. The black theologian must have no fear over the threats of men who, like Jackson, in the name of God and in the name of the church, stand in the way of efforts of black people to seek an understanding of God's hand in the midst of a most torturous and most difficult historical situation. Black men like Jackson are doing more than they realize toward hindering a full realization of God's revelation in the lives of black people. But it is our thanks that men like Jackson will not be able to stop the full apprehension and comprehension of that revelation. The black theologian, the black Christian, must define the revelation of God in the lives of black people, must be prepared to sever their adherence to many traditional concepts regarding the Christian faith. This is not to say that the traditional approach to interpreting the Christian faith and God's revelation of himself through that faith is to be taken lightly. Rather, it is to say that the call to interpret the Christian faith with the realization that God is aware of the plight of oppressed black people in America must indeed be taken seriously. It is unfortunate that men like Jackson fail to understand that when the black theologian fails to comprehend the revelation of God from the standpoint that God is aware of the plight of oppressed black people, then he is failing to affirm God as the living God. He is failing to affirm him as the omnipotent, as the omnipresent, and as the omniscient.
May we pray? Our Father, we ask that in these times you guide us all, that we might have an understanding of your will, we might sense direction in our lives that can come only from you. Guide us that we might proclaim that revelation which comes from you, that all men will be drawn to you. We ask it in the name of thy Son, Jesus.